Everybody, this is Michael Anthony Johnson, and we're live here at CFN Radio, the Blog Talk portion of our show. And as we are sitting here, we're getting ready to shoot a great interview, of course, our TV platform. And I've got Tina, she's right here. She's the author of
Seminole.
So it's spelled S-E-M-I-N-O-L-E. Seminole, Some People Never Give Up. And we're going to talk about that more extensively. Just introduce yourself in just a small way to our audience before we go on live on camera. If you just share.
Okay, my name is Tina Siemens from Seminole, Texas. Seminole is the Black Seminole from the state of Florida that the 10th Cavalry hired in 1875 for their scouting abilities. Mm. And that is where we get the name Seminole from.
I had no idea.
The word Seminole means set apart.
Seminole, set apart.
Set apart. And so it was that way with the Black Seminoles from the state of Florida, as well as the Mennonites. They've always been set apart.
When you say set apart, I like words that set aside in my mind is indistinction.
Yes.
What do you mean set apart when you say that so our listeners can get an idea? Because there might not be people that know Christian terminology. But what does set apart mean for just somebody that may not know?
Set apart for the Mennonites means they were set apart from the world. They wanted to keep themselves separate, not from the worldly influences around them. So they were always in colony, and they were set apart in their everyday living, as well as the Black Seminoles. Mm-hmm. Either they were freed or still slaves, but they were congregating in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And so, but their scouting abilities were phenomenal.
Wow.
And the saying goes that they could detect a lizard running across a rock the day before.
They're that spot on.
That's how wonderful their scouting ability.
Wow.
So when God gave me the title of this book, I just did not even know that the word Seminole means set apart.
You just taught me.
And it makes such amazing sense, because that's how the Mennonites have always been from the 1500s. They were set apart in their religion and in just keeping away from the worldly influences.
Isn't that something that we need to examine ourselves today?
Absolutely.
Especially with the culture that we have, the climate that we have, whether it's politically, whether with the coronavirus and all this, the fear and phobia that's there.
Yeah.
We get inundated with a lot of things that's going on in the news and around us, and people talk about it.
Yeah.
Went into the college of writing, wanted to touch each other and all this type of thing. But it's just like, that's Seminole, that set apart reference is something that we really need to take a look at, isn't it?
Well, Jesus says that in this world you are experiencing fear.
Right.
Be not dismayed, for I have overcome the world.
Wow.
And so we are set apart as Christians, as God's children.
That's right.
We are set apart.
Yes.
And we do not allow sin or fear to creep into our lives, because that will spoil what the work that God is doing within us, if we allow that.
Now, as we're getting ready, as everybody knows, you may not know on the Blog Talk Radio, but we're getting ready to go live on we're getting ready to record as far as the cameras. But I want you to give just a snapshot, just exclusively for our Blog Talk listeners. This book, Seminole, Some People Never Give Up, what do you want people to walk away after reading this book? What do you want me, because I've read over some excerpts, but what do you want me to walk away with?
I want you to know that if you don't give up, you will persevere. If sometimes that victory is right around the corner, or just one more step. Mm-hmm. And with a family history, we have gone for generation upon generation. And sometimes it felt like they were going circles, or they weren't getting anywhere. But what my family, when we immigrated to West Texas in 1977, we got the fruit of our labor because we did not give up. My parents persevered. And so that is when my mom, she passed away about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Four pillars, which I will come back to later on at the end of my talk, but one of them was never give up.
Wow.
And so that is a huge pillar in my life and my family. And everybody that knew my mom, they experienced that perseverance spirit in her. And so if I can influence by one person, say, I can do this.
Wow.
And that's
That is phenomenal. And I want to tell the audience, too, as we're going to go back, you know, no problem. We're going to go back and talk about where everything before West Texas.
Yeah.
The journey that your family went through from country to country, and some of the hardships and trials that they had endured. And what I want everybody, the listeners and the viewers from this program to take away is never give up. And the word for the day is perseverance. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to them from our coat on as we're doing because we're getting the cameras locked. Okay.
I'm ready to shoot.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
Sorry about that.
No.
I'm trying to get this mic. Well, I heard him watch this, but my hand went all around anyway.
So this is live radio and live TV, so this is what happened. We just broke a lamp, but God has a ram in the bush.
There you go.
So this is one of the things that's for us when you're doing something live. Anything can happen. You just, you know, as we're anchored, because one of the things we were talking about before is you walk by faith and not by sight. And so a lot of times we walk by sight, then we'll get enamored by the things that's going on around us. But if we walk by faith, we'll trust God. That one there acting up. It's that one. It's
all right.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Anthony Johnson, and this is CFN TV, and an incredible guest that we have here. We want to talk to her about her book.
Seminole.
That's why I put it at you. Seminole, and this is Some People Never Give Up. Some people never give up, and we want to talk about this story about never giving up, because there are a lot of people, they just give up on their journey, and we want everybody to hear your story. And how from country to country, generation to generation, you've had something ingrained on the inside. Tell us just a snapshot to get us all started with our audience. What is Seminole? Some people never give up. What is this story about?
This story is a generational story that has taken many years to write.
Mm-hmm.
Just my personal story, or a writing process, was about 4 years.
Right.
But it has taken over hundreds of years to gather. But Seminole means set apart.
Set apart.
And I live in Seminole, Texas, a small West Texas town, just south of Lubbock, Texas. The viewers know where Lubbock, Texas is, Texas Tech.
Right.
And so Seminole was the town that offered Farmland. For the Mennonites. So 1977, we are just up on our 43rd anniversary coming up March 26th.
Wow.
Is when my family drove into Seminole. It was dusk in the evening, and we had been in El Paso at the border for 5 long days waiting for a permit to be able to cross.
And 5 days?
5 days. And every day, my father was at the border, and so he persevered and did not give up, and we reached the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So some people never give up.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a personal journey for me and my family, but for hundreds of families before us.
Right.
And it's not just for the people of Seminole, Texas, but for all of everyone.
Everyone
that God is giving a breath today,
Has
the opportunity to choose not to give up.
One of the things that you said that, and it just took me back to memory, a memory that I had somebody say, if you're still breathing, you still have an opportunity.
Absolutely.
You still have a victory.
Absolutely.
You still have hope, and you just should never give up. I want everybody, and where can everybody get this book just to start off with? Where can they get this book, and how can they find it?
Yes. On Amazon, and working on distributing it in Barnes & Noble.
All right.
Very soon for that. And Amazon.com, and then also at my website, SeminoleTheBook.com.
SeminoleTheBook.com.
Yes.
This is great. I love it. And I want you to tell, we were saying it on our radio broadcast, but tell what Seminole came from. Is what there were some black Seminole people that had some astute senses. Tell us about that portion of it.
When I prayed about the cover, what that cover, and it just came to me one night, mm-hmm. and it was supposed to be different hats. And hats, everybody wears a hat, whether a real hat or a hat in life. And so I did the Indian headdress
mm-hmm.
for the Black Seminole.
Mm-hmm.
And in our area, and Quanah Parker is very well known.
Mm-hmm.
He was the last Comanche chief of the Comanche tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And just this past weekend, I was in Oklahoma, and I toured his star house
right.
in Oklahoma. But back to the cover, the headdress is for all of the natives
mm-hmm.
that were here, that occupied our land before the white men came.
Right.
And so then the Black Seminole, they were in the state of Florida.
Right.
And the U.S. 10th Cavalry, which is the hat at the bottom.
I still recognize that.
And so that's for the U.S. 10th Cavalry. And
they
hired the Black Seminoles out of the state of Florida for their scouting ability.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Black Seminoles, they were congregating in the state,
mm-hmm.
and they were, so the soldiers, the Buffalo soldiers,
mm-hmm.
were hired, and they came out to our area. And so that is two of the hat pieces on my front cover, the ones to the cowboy hat, the straw cowboy hat, and then the ribbon hat. That is the Mennonite, typical Mennonite male and female hat, worn by adults and children as well. And then there's the fedora. And that is in honor of all of the legal help that we got from our local mayor, that as we read in Matthew 25:35, that he saw the strangers in his land.
Mm-hmm.
Our local mayor, Bob Clark, in 1977, was in his office selling insurance on the side,
mm-hmm.
and he saw the Mennonites congregating down the street at a local real estate door.
Right.
And he was wondering, what are these strangers doing in my town?
Mm-hmm.
And they were dressed in homemade dresses, wore the head covering. A lot of wore these hats,
mm-hmm.
men and women.
Wow.
And so that was like a totally different.
Totally different.
See 20, 30 people,
right.
men and women,
mm-hmm.
just standing on Main Street in small town Seminole. And so he inquired, what are these people doing?
Right.
And he found out that they were promised, if they would come to Seminole, they would get their U.S. citizenship.
Wow.
It would be, if they would buy land, they would farm over there, and that's what the Mennonites are known for, is farming.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not afraid of hard work.
Right.
And so they said, okay, we'll just make the move to West Texas,
mm-hmm.
and if we get to become Americans, that's huge.
Right.
So my parents were down in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and before I go through where I was born, let me recap quickly the journey from Mennonite. Many, many people have heard and talked about the Mennonite,
mm-hmm.
but the word Mennonite comes from a Catholic priest that was in 1536,
mm-hmm.
left the Catholic Church in present-day Netherlands. And
so that was back in Netherlands?
Back in Netherlands, 1536.
Let's stop right there because I'm going to take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be right back. We're right there in the Netherlands, but we'll mm-hmm. be back, right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
That's
great.
Okay.
That was great.
Yes, tell me. We got to say.
Oh, yeah. So when you need me to stop, then just
you'll go ahead. Stay tuned, our audience here on Blog Talk. We're still going on. I want you to hear this entire story. It's phenomenal as far as, it started in the Netherlands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take you from there to where the generations of your family
mm-hmm.
had to go through some different things.
Nice.
So I'm glad. Thank you for stopping that, too, because I don't want to
forget it. All right, let's go to the
next segment. We're talking about what happened in the Netherlands and going forward and what the things that they're going to do from there.
All right, you want to give her a little idea so she can already have a head up?
As far as what we're going to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, I want this, we already have 7 minutes, and we got 20 minutes left. So I have another 7 minutes, you think? Let's take that journey all the way from Netherlands until, I think you said
Mexico.
You want to talk to Mexico.
Okay.
And also, if there's anything particularly as far as perseverance that you really want to highlight,
yeah,
I would highlight that.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
that's at the end of the day, we want to tell people to get off the couch.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you're going through, dysfunctional family,
yeah.
You might have gone through a migration situation or you might have immigrated here to another place and then you stopped.
Yeah.
And your story is still out there.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right, now I'm focusing directly in on you. I'm assuming I'm letting you know.
Okay.
So we can have a cutaway. Because some of this stuff, I can cut Mr. Mike directly out of it and it's for you.
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
That's perfect.
So if you see me over here, I'm on you. Like, I get your attention.
Okay.
Come
on. Okay. We're doing setups right now with the cameras. So enjoy this moment and you'll hear some more of the story just shortly. And I'll end up with some of the stuff. That's what I'm saying, most of the stuff from the blog talk show. People that are listening live, they're sharing everything. So you're blessed. You're getting an exclusive piece of what's going on. But I'll edit it and put it back out there later.
Sure.
And send it over to you. Okay. Right here? Okay.
I'm here. Camera one rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Camera two rolling. Camera three rolling. 3, 2, 1, action.
And we are back talking to Tina Siemens about Seminole, Texas. I mean, Seminole, Texas. I'm getting it. Okay.
Seminole, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me do it again.
3, 2, 1,
hey, action. Hello, we're back. This is Michael Anthony Johnson, and I'm here with Tina Siemens. One more time.
Seminole, some people never give up. We don't give up.
Siemens. Like the name Siemens. Okay.
Yes.
3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, we're back. This is Michael Anthony Johnson, and we're back talking to Tina Siemens. And we're talking about her book called Seminole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Some People Never Give Up. And we want to continue your story. You talked about the Netherlands, where you were from, and where you were migrating and going different places. Tell us from that story. Give us an idea of what is going on in that story there.
Well, the very first chapter in my book is about a guy. His name was Dirk Willems.
Mm-hmm.
He was an Anabaptist that was burnt at the stake live for his faith
wow.
in 1569. And so this was right during the Reformation years, where a leader,
mm-hmm.
a priest from the Catholic Church, left the Catholic Church simply on, he didn't think that the priests were living such lavish lives and the people around them were being killed for their faith and were persecuted, drowned, frozen,
wow.
or burnt at the stake.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dirk Willems, as you will read in the first chapter, escaped prison. And he tasted freedom. He was across the frozen moat that was around the castle,
mm-hmm.
and one of the guards found out that he was that he was fleeing, and the guard called him back. And in that split moment, Mr. Williams had to make the choice, do I go back and save my fellow human being, my brother? Or do I just keep going? Because I see the freedom across the parking or the moated area.
Mm-hmm.
There was some trees, and he could taste freedom.
Right.
But his Christian duty was not to leave his brother
mm-hmm.
drowning. Because he was lighter, the ice did not break. And he got across the ice. But the guard of the prison broke through the ice and was drowning and calling out, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back and helped him. And so that's the first chapter.
Wow.
But right during that time was when Menno Simon, and the word Mennonite comes from his name, Menno Simon. So he became the leader of a small Anabaptist group. They baptized each other as adults,
mm-hmm.
Even though they were born baptized as infants. But that started the group being called the Mennonites.
Mennonites.
And that's from his name. So John Calvin is where the Calvinists their name.
Right.
The Amish, their leader was Jakob Arma.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the word Amish comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So the word Mennonite comes from Menachem.
So there's a lot of history here.
Lots and lots of history.
Wow.
And
this
so,
is good.
So when they then, their freedoms were beginning to be taken away in the Netherlands because they were persecuted for their faith, the land wanted it to stay Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be the main religion in the land. So then King Alexander from present-day Poland invited the Mennonites. In exchange for their freedom,
mm-hmm.
they could come and then work to build dikes
mm-hmm.
and make farmland useful because it was up to 6 feet under sea level. So it was swampy land.
Right.
And the Mennonites, they were really known for their hard work.
Right.
And so they came to present-day Poland and built dikes, which you can still see there today.
Mm-hmm.
2016, I walked those dikes.
Right.
That the Mennonites had built.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lived there. And
mm-hmm.
their freedoms, again, were taken away. After King Alexander passed away, the successors didn't grant the same privileges that they were given.
That's incredible. Now, we're going to finish with this story just a little bit. This is some great stuff. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Great history. Great history.
This is years and years and years of history.
Mm-hmm.
And you can... You can visit all of these places to get the real, true facts.
Exactly.
And it has just given me the strength to
wow.
to just not give up.
All the things that they've gone through, they were invited to go to Poland,
mm-hmm.
and then they started to get some persecution all the way or some they had to persevere through some things there. And where do we go from this next segment? What are we going to go to from here?
From present day Ukraine.
Okay, president. Yep. Wow.
Catherine the Great invited them.
So they get these invitations, but it turns on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time a situation changes, they have to persevere
yeah.
some more
so they,
challenges.
They are known for their hard work, so they work really hard to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then jealousy starts
yep.
coming in, and
wow.
things start being taken
away.
Okay. Camera 1, rolling.
Okay.
Camera 2, rolling. Camera 3, rolling. We live. 3, 2, 1.
Hello, we're back, and we're with Tina Siemens, which is telling us about the story from the Netherlands to Poland, and some incredible names that we know in our history, but we don't know how it relates to this story yet, and she's bringing us some great insight, and I want you to continue the story from your book. Please tell us.
So after Poland, Catherine the Great
mm-hmm.
invited them because she had gained a lot of acreage
mm-hmm.
Through the wars,
mm-hmm.
and she needed people to come and farm it.
Right.
And so she was German
mm-hmm.
from Europe. So she had heard about the workmanship of the Mennonites. And so she invited them. And my fifth great grandpa, Jacob Heppner,
mm-hmm.
was one of the two delegates that went from Poland to present day Ukraine. It was South Russia at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he traveled with Catherine the Great.
You're teaching us some history. You said
yes.
this was... it used to be old Russia.
Yes,
So
South Russia.
South Russia.
Okay. South Russia.
South Russia. Uh-huh. And now, it's
Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
All
yeah.
right.
And so they lived there. They got one settlement named. The first settlement was called Gorzica.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years later, when the people that did have businesses in Poland
mm-hmm.
sold their businesses and they came and they made another settlement. And so after a couple of hundred years, there was a lot of mother colonies in present-day Ukraine. Well, then Catherine the Great, the privileges that she had given the Mennonites, they were beginning to, the Russians thought, okay, what if, why, they're not having to go to war because they're conscientious objectors.
Yes.
And so then the jealousy became part of it, mm-hmm. and they began to take freedoms away. And so the Mennonites, instead of serving with bearing arms in the wars, they had their own train with the Red Cross
mm-hmm.
and were helping wounded soldiers. And they worked in the forestry, cutting down trees for fuel and replanting trees.
Mm-hmm.
But it became harder and harder that they were supposed to have their schools, teach Russian in their schools. And that was one of the privileges that they were very, we want our own school systems, we want our own churches,
right.
And we want to have our village system, mm-hmm. where they had their own villages set up. And that's where we come back, where we started off with being set apart.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so then 1875, my three times great-grandpa,
mm-hmm.
was one of the first leaders leaving present-day Ukraine to immigrate to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And because Canada had invited them, they sent delegates ahead, and they were given the privileges that they were asking for. One group came to America. So the group came, immigrated to Kansas,
mm-hmm.
bringing with them the red turkey wheat, which is now today the breadbasket of America.
That's right. That's right.
So they then immigrated to Canada and the United States, and then again in Canada, 1919,
mm-hmm.
the school system started saying, you've got to teach English in your Mennonite school. And they again said, well, this is the same thing that happened in the Netherlands. It happened in Ukraine.
Right.
Our freedoms are being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they again started looking for, where can we move?
Wow.
So then they moved to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Canada, the same thing happened.
Same thing.
1922, my great-grandparents made the journey from Canada, Saskatchewan, province of Saskatchewan, and Manitoba,
mm-hmm.
and by train ride. And that's what you'll see on my book trader, is the train ride to Mexico.
So that's the short film that you're seeing.
That's the short video.
This is incredible. When you're making strides and doing something that's productive, you're going to always have something that's hurdled through or hurdled put in front of you. Because it seems like every time they made strides, it's just like what happened when they were building Egypt.
Right.
They said, okay, we're going to take this away. Now you build it without straw.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And so those things begin to happen.
Yeah.
And this is parallel, mm-hmm. to some things that happened, even happening in our country,
mm-hmm.
Or has happened in the history of our country. Just some parallels to some things as far as African Americans, the black people, mm-hmm. that's gone through some of the things,
yeah.
and, you know, persevered.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some struggles. With even our Mexican Hispanic brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
they've gone through some different things. So this is a good, solid story,
yeah.
to tell us. What happens when you persevere and when,
yeah.
you press through?
Yeah.
We're going to get to the next point. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned. And our Blog Talk audience, are you getting excited like I am as far as the things we're able to cover, the things that we're looking back in history, and how it's repeating itself,
mm-hmm.
in a common day story? Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Because so many times when the leaders were asked to do something that went against their faith,
right?
They just said, okay, where is God wanting us?
Right.
Where is God calling us? And they would look for new opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much, when I will come from, we'll travel next to, from Canada to Old Mexico, Chihuahua,
mm-hmm.
Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then my family's personal journey from,
mm-hmm.
Mexico to the United
States. Okay.
All right. Bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit like about recap, like,
mm-hmm.
just bringing everybody back. So, hey, all right, we don't spoke about this, we don't spoke about that, we don't get a good fight, now, mm-hmm. we're getting ready to get closer again, and go from there.
Okay.
All right. Camera one, setting.
Exciting, isn't it? This is a production of a TV and radio show, so this is exciting.
Great. Camera 3 is ready.
Okay. Yes, we're back. Michael Anthony, counting.
Three, two, one, action.
We're back. Michael Anthony Johnson, and you've just heard some phenomenal, phenomenal history from the story Seminole. Some people never give up, from the Netherlands to present-day Ukraine.
Correct.
To Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And in my neck of the woods in Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and bring us into this, because there's some persecution, if you will, or hurdles being put in the way of these people you know, just trying to do something good. And, you know, it's still somebody gets jealous or somebody else comes into reign or, and it changes the dynamic. That, mm-hmm. Can I say that? It changes the dynamic. Tell us from there where we are now.
Well, it's now 1922, mm-hmm. and train loads full of people travel across the United States from
mm-hmm.
Canada
mm-hmm.
to El Paso. And then on to Chihuahua, Mexico, into the desert of Chihuahua, Mexico.
Wow.
And it was not just a desert landscape-wise,
mm-hmm.
but it was a brand new start, almost like a desert. They came to present-day Chihuahua, Mexico,
mm-hmm.
the city of Chihuahua, and just unloaded their trains and set up tents, and then they went and scouted out or blocked off the land that they that the church people had bought as a group,
right.
And waited for their families to be able to say, this is our plot, this is your plot. And it was in village type, so a road down the middle, and then neighbors on either side.
Right.
Anywhere from 25 to 35 neighbors per village.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that village was full, then the next village would be started. So this is where we wanted to get started. And my great-grandpa was very, very sad when he had to leave Canada because he had, one, just barely got his own John Deere tractor.
Yeah.
And was starting to make his own living.
Mm-hmm.
But because of his wife's family was the preacher's family, and the preacher's family automatically had to go.
Mm-hmm.
So then they are in Mexico, and then comes along my dad, the first grandson
mm-hmm.
From my great-grandparents. And on my dad's 10th birthday, he calls my dad into the barn and tells him, David, when you grow up, you make sure that you get back north, back to Canada. Making a living was so much easier, even though we were experiencing hardships of
mm-hmm.
being required to learn the language and living outside of our comfort zone, which is huge. If you are so comfortable, you don't want to leave.
That's right.
And so oftentimes if we're forced to get out of our comfort zone, we then realize we can persevere.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was my great-grandfather speaking then to my dad. It just encouraging. And that planted a seed in my father and said, when I grow up, I will do what my grandpa told me to. And so he was always looking for that way out. Hard, making a living. Five children, and making a living was extremely. Chickens were being stolen.
Right.
The grains were being stolen. The small farm that my father would, dad, my mom, and both my dad and my mom were working so hard was just being stolen away from them. And my dad said, if Seminole, Texas, that I'm hearing chatter about, is being invited, giving an invitation to the Mennonites, if that is going to come to pass, I am going to have my family there as one of the first families.
Right.
And we were. We were the seventh family. So March 20th, we drive in a single cab pickup
mm-hmm.
to the border.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where perseverance really was put to the test.
All right. We will hear about the perseverance and the testing of that. We'll be right back. Keep on listening. This is some great stuff, great history. It's something that we can really receive in our own lives. We'll be right back. How's it going?
It's going good.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. This is good. You just did the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to come back. Seminole, Texas.
And we'll be in Seminole, yeah.
Okay. But it's incredible what I'm seeing. You know, I'm talking about Blog Talk audience as well. They are invited, they do great, they set up camp,
mm-hmm.
and then they're rushed off. Or some, like you said, jealousy comes mm-hmm. in, or somebody's not getting with the program, they don't
mm-hmm.
like what their faith is,
mm-hmm.
so they create where they have to leave. I like what you said, the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
That is really difficult for people.
Exactly.
When you have a comfort zone,
yep.
you're familiar with something,
yep.
and you've gotten used to the way those things are, and you pull out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, and that comfort zone can even be in a very dire state,
mm-hmm.
because people get in that comfort zone of, I am nobody.
Right.
God could not love somebody like me.
Wow, yeah.
And they are comfortable in that because they play the victim.
Right.
And if you play the victim, you will always stay down.
Good stuff.
Yeah. You got to sit me up. I was thinking the same thing. You got to go back. Can we do that? Yeah, see. You got to bring that on camera. I'm
okay.
That is awesome. Because I was thinking of a friend of mine. She's a very popular Christian artist. And I knew her, and I'm not going to say her name on the blog talk on TV, but she was being abused in their marriage. And then thank God there were some kids at the time, but she would come over, and she didn't tell me that was going on. We went to Crash for the Nations together.
Okay.
And she was getting abused by her husband. Nobody knew, but she would just come around and say, hey, how you doing? You know, and she knew we were really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of us from Transformations and from the church that I went to, we'd get together.
Mm-hmm.
And she come around and didn't say anything was going on. We didn't know that she was being beaten. She had been thrown up against the wall. She's a small little petite thing. And the guy was like a football player.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back in retrospect, I was like, man, she endured that, but she felt she had to stay in because she was being counseled.
Mm-hmm.
This is your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to stay in there.
Yeah.
And somebody might be listening at that. You don't have to stay in a situation where you're being beaten, thrown, or your life is threatened. You do not have to stay in those situations ever because God doesn't condone anything like that. And I don't know why the church would counsel them. Maybe they didn't know that what was going on, really.
Okay.
But it was just one of those situations. And now she persevered through all that, got out of the marriage, and moved to Nashville. She's one of the most incredible Christian gospel artists, I'll say Christian artists, out there now. I mean, wrote one of the incredible anthems of the church.
Wow.
So I'll tell you off camera who that was.
Okay.
We got to, how do we start that? We got to start that again.
Comfort zone.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, camera one.
Thank you.
Camera two, roll it. Camera three, roll it. We're going live in 3, 2, 1, action.
It's Michael Johnson back with Tina Siemens. And I want to start from where we left when we were going on camera because it's an incredible conversation that happened. We were talking about comfort zones. And would you share, please share about what you share with us, even on the blog talk segment, but tell us about that comfort zone.
Well, so often we are forced to persevere, or we think that we can't persevere. Sorry.
Right.
And we are forced by our own victimization.
Mm-hmm.
We think that I'm a victim. I'm not worthy.
Right.
God does not want somebody like me. Like, I'm just not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that comfort zone, if it's a negative comfort zone, we get stuck sometimes.
Right.
But God wants us to persevere. God wants us to be able to step out and say, I am a daughter of a king.
Right.
I can persevere with God. But if we play the victim, then we will get stuck and we will stay in that rut.
Wow.
But God has, he's all powerful.
Yes, he is.
Satan is. He has many, many tools that he comes out with us, fiery darts, but God is more powerful.
That's right.
And if we get out of that comfort zone of, I can do this, with God's empowerment, I can go another day.
This is incredible. You know, we hear so many times the mind is the battlefield, and what the enemy or what the devil does, he works in our minds, making us think that we're, like you said, we're nothing. We have to stay there. On our blog talk segment about a young lady that was staying because she thought she was supposed to in a marriage and she was getting abused. And I want to say to anybody, if you are being abused in any kind of way, that your life is being threatened, you don't have to stay in that situation. God has provided a way for you to escape. And so look for those ways. And if you don't know, we'll share with you some of the ways you can escape. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Beautiful segment. And I know that I can feel when God's going to use something, man.
That's it.
We've had an incredible time with Tina Siemens, talked about her book here, Seminole, Some People Never Give Up. And we want to give you just some time to talk to our audience, tell them where they can find you, how they can find your book, how they can have you to come and speak, or maybe some other radio broadcasters out there, television programs that would love to have you on their set. So please share with us. And I know you got something you want to share with us first, but please share that first.
Well, I would like to come back to just what it means personally to not give up.
Right.
And I'll share a quick story about when I was about 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We have just come across to Seminole,
mm-hmm.
and are now living with another family,
right.
Of the seven in the family, and mm-hmm. we are seven. And so we are two families in a two-bedroom mobile home, living,
yeah.
and as we came, March 26, 1977, we come drive in a single cab pickup truck with a camper shell and a hired driver.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hired driver, whose truck it was, had my mom and Ms. Schmidt sit in front, each with a two-year-old baby on their lap.
Mm-hmm.
Both fathers and seven of us kids were in the camper shell.
Right.
And we come, there's a little knoll just west of Seminole, and it was dusk when we drive into Seminole, and Dad said, "Everyone, look, we're home."
Wow.
We're home. And so when that moment hit, I remember seeing like a sea of light coming down from Chihuahua, Mexico,
mm-hmm.
where the villages were dark. We didn't have street lights.
Mm-hmm.
And here's all these lights of Seminole, Texas, just
wow.
welcoming us. And the first Thanksgiving, the First Baptist Church, I spoke a little bit about the mayor seeing the strangers in their land and opening, calling the immigration and having INS come to Seminole
mm-hmm.
to get the names of the people. And so there's 625 names on the original bill, and y'all can Google that bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 96-63 private bill that passed the House and the Congress, and President Jimmy Carter signed that bill, and that gave my family, my family's name is on that bill.
Wow.
And
yeah.
it gave us the opportunity to become a citizen, a pathway to citizenship. And this past November, I was had the privilege of being in President Jimmy Carter's home church in Plains, Georgia, and give him a copy of my book
wow.
as a thank you note for giving us the opportunity to become Americans. And as we were working in the cotton field, everything that we earned had to go to immigration. On Thursday night, we would get a notification that by Friday, $50 per head, $75 per head were due by Friday evening in order for the immigration process to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were working out in the field 12 hours a day. I was 8 years old. We didn't know about sunblock. We had these types of hats, but sunblock, that was unheard of to the Mennonite population. And so one day I remember coming back, and I had blisters on my neck and on my hands from being in the cotton field all day long. Coolers
mm-hmm.
to keep our sandwiches cold?
Yeah, no,
who knew? And so it was in a plastic bag, our sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
tucked under tumbleweeds
mm-hmm.
to keep them. But by lunch, they were soggy and wet. But that was all we had. So we were thankful for that.
Yes.
But when I came home from that day on the cotton field, I sat in the tub with just tears running down my face and saying, I can't do this. That red Texas dirt on my neck, that sand from our cotton fields, I can't wash it with all of those blisters. And I hear a knock on the door, and Dad says, "Tino, what's wrong?" And I said, "Dad, I can't wash my neck. It hurts so bad,
mm-hmm.
all the blisters." He said, "Tina, just wash up. When you get out, I'll have a gallon of ice cream. And you kids can eat all the ice cream that you want."
Yeah.
I washed up so quickly, and we got to the dining room table. We didn't even put it in a little bowl. We ate straight out of this 1 gallon bucket of ice cream. Banished. That ice cream was so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just moments like these that made us strong. We were given some apricots, and I planted one apricot seed at our first mobile home. And it was a small seedling when we finally were able to purchase our own lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I uprooted that and planted that at our new place. And it bore fruit for years and years. That tree gave us apricot jam, which is our family's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, we were uprooted from our home in Mexico. We were uprooted for generations
mm-hmm.
from one land to another. And all the time, God allowed us to come out victoriously.
Wow.
For those who did, there was a lot of people that got fell into depression, mm-hmm. fell into drinking,
mm-hmm.
and committed suicide.
Right.
But for those who persevered, we made it. And that is the reason I'm here today. When I was 8 years old, I knew no other language than Low German.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the public school that first year, kicked and spat upon and teased. And the teacher, love has no language.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher came and got me out of the classroom with just tears streaming down my face for what had happened during the recess. The three boys that just kicked me, mm-hmm. spat upon me, slapped me, made fun of me, and I didn't know what to do. And then the teacher, after we all came back into class, she called me out, and I thought, oh, now I'm in real trouble, because I cried. And in the hallway, there was those three boys all lined up, and they got a slot in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So justice was served.
Right.
Language had no barrier. Love had no barrier. And so that's how we got started. But there's many, many stories like that from our personal family's experience in this book, not just from my family, but hundreds of years back, going back to the 1500s, of perseverance. If we just don't give up, then we will get the strength to persevere. My mom's four main pillars were, in her broken English, she couldn't pronounce TH sound. She would say, love each other.
Yes.
Forgive each other.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up, and let's pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the four pillars that guide me through God of my parents experiencing salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Up till then, it was just so many man-made rules in church. You got to do this, you got to do that.
Right.
But God, through God's experience, they experienced salvation, and we now experience salvation. And it is because we're now part of the American fabric,
mm-hmm.
as immigrants and as Christians and God's family first. But this land opened up to the strangers in their land and welcomed us.
This is awesome. You know, I'm sitting here just blown away hearing your story. And I know there's a lot of stories out there in our coming day. People as far as America or anywhere you're watching this around the world, perseverance, going through it. And one of the things we talked about, if you're still breathing, there's hope.
Amen. Yeah.
If you're still breathing, there's some things that can happen, that change will come. My appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change comes. Job said it many times before. We thank you so much. Thank you so much. And did you get a chance to tell us where we can get your book? How anybody out there,
yes.
pastors of whomever it is?
On Amazon. It is on Amazon, and it's available in Kindle, audio, and paperback. And it's also on my website, mm-hmm. SeminoleTheBook.com.
That's wonderful.
And my email address is SeminoleTheBook@gmail.com. So please get in contact with me if you have anything that you want to ask me once you've read the book. Just feel free to get in contact with me.
Thank you so much. Everybody, go get this book. We endorse it ourselves from CFN TV and on our worldwide network. We're so honored to have you here. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. What an honor it has been.
Thank you. We'll see you next time, everybody. And we're going to round out also with, we got, 5 minutes left on our broadcast Cemetery Radio Blog Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, you can tell when God has really done something in the midst of us, right? I just feel such a peace and a calm, and it's just a serenity in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's somebody out there, and I always like to reach out. You're hearing this story, you relate to this story, and you might be in the struggle now, or you might need just to persevere a little bit longer. What can you tell that person in the moment now that helped, what helped you in that moment from the four pillars or whatever it was that strengthened you just to keep present in? What can you tell someone that's going through the struggle now?
I would say just today.
Mm-hmm.
We have just today to mm-hmm. do something. Whether you want to change it,
mm-hmm.
take a hold of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's gone.
Right.
Tomorrow's not here yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have this moment. 5 minutes ago is history.
Right.
And so in this moment, each one of us has the opportunity and the strength if we reach out. I always say that the Red Sea did not open until Moses put his foot into the water.
That's right.
Sometimes we have to maybe go to something that's uncomfortable to us personally.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is what it takes for you to, like an arrow, it has to be pulled back first before it can project forward.
Right.
Maybe you're in that situation right now where you feel like everything is caving in on you. Maybe you're just now getting ready to be launched for what God has for you. So don't give up. Stay in the moment and persevere, because tomorrow is a new day.
Oh, thank you so much. That's powerful, because, you know, those same words, and it might say it differently, but those same words is what I need to hear. That I tell you what happened back in December.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you're going through, you're still breathing. You're in the moment. You are not pulled out of the moment. You're in it.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that's going on in your mind, the Bible tells us, and I use this scripture all the time, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, because the knowledge of God is in you. Whatever be accomplished, you persevere and stick all the way through. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and start signing off. And also, you heard, we can get in touch with her. And tell them the email address one more time, if you don't mind.
Seminole, that's SEMINOLE, thebook.com, or on Amazon under the same title, Seminole, Some People Never Give Up.
That is awesome. Thank you so much again for joining us in our CFN network. And we look forward to just having you back again. You got to come back and talk to us. Anytime you're in Dallas, tell me you're going to be here.
We will. And the second book is in the process. So that will be more a continuous of how we grew up in Seminole. And I got married and have family. And there's amazing.
Thank you so much again, everybody. We'll see you next time on Blog Talk. See you soon. Radio. God bless.
Boy name.